These are our faithful partners in the DR, and I really appreciate Sandy. I'm sweating, I'm a mess. But I really appreciate Sandy and Ed. They really love you well, and I'm just so thankful for what you guys do. And this is Teresa, and this is Jim. And so I'm just going to pray for you guys real quick, and then we'll just go ahead and continue. Father God, I just love this couple. What such an encouragement to other believers that are walking for you, Lord. And Father, and that they're willing to sacrifice what the feel good, what we want, Lord. And I just thank you for that. Oh, Lord, I know that they're faithful in their ministry, Lord, and Father God, but you're faithful to them. And Lord, we just celebrate what the work that has been done through them, that you've used them, Lord, and we just pray that you continue using them, because greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for today. Lord, if there's anybody that is listening right now and hasn't accepted you, Lord, I pray that you woo them. I pray that you show them that inviting you in is easy. Lord, staying faithful is the longevity run. So, Lord, I just give you all that. I just bow my heart to you, and I just love this couple, and thank you for bringing them in our partnership. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, family. It's good to be home. So forgive me if I'm a little bit emotional and a little bit froggy. Indiana has welcomed us well, so. I just want to say thank you all for many years, more than 2.5 decades of lifting us up and supporting us and praying for us and believing in the vision that God has called us all to. We thank you, and we could not do this without you and your faithfulness to what God has called you to. And that's the scripture that the Lord put on my heart this morning. Last night, actually, when I was trying to fall asleep, I was thinking about how we have been given this wonderful word of truth. And it is the word of hope, amen? It's the word of hope. In Ephesians, it says, in him, you have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings of your salvation. Isn't that beautiful for this season? The glad tidings of our salvation. We've been given that. But many times, or for me anyway, I pray all the time, Lord, do not let my actions or my words offend so that I cannot share your truth. Because it seems a little strange, but the word of truth will offend, right? So as we reach out to our community, your community is here in Newcastle, they're going to receive us with open arms in the DR. They're going to receive us with open arms when we come with the help that they need, especially in times of COVID, in times of poverty. In all these times, they're going to receive what we have, right? But many times when we come with the word of truth, the hand is going to go up, you know, it's not received because the word offends. So maybe my actions prayerfully will never offend, but the word of truth might offend because it shines that light, like this light that's shining in my eyes right now, on those things in us that need to be exposed, that need to come under this wonderful word of truth and the gospel of our salvation. So I want to finish reading this scripture to you. Ephesians 1:16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, all of you. For I always pray to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope of your calling, the inheritance of the saints. And that's what we've celebrated this morning. So we just want to, as a couple, and for my family, for the many ways you have loved us and our family through the years and support our ministry, we want to say thank you. We love you all.
Oh, man. She's awesome, isn't she? She had a birthday today, too. Happy birthday, baby. I almost told him how old you were.
It's good to be married, isn't it,
brother? Amen. Amen. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Oh, come on. I know Jesus is better than that. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Hallelujah. I tell you, I think if I were able to be in Christ for 100 years, every day is still a new day with Him. I'm still as excited about Jesus today as I was the first day I met Him. And I didn't know anything about Him. I just knew I met this awesome guy who changed my life drastically, both physically and spiritually. It was awesome. And the Lord has been faithful. He's been good. And most of all, He's been merciful. And we need God's mercy today. The world needs mercy today. And I want to talk to you today about something that is probably in the back of your mind a lot, but you don't really ever speak, maybe you don't really dwell on it, but that's living in survival mode. And because we have the hope of salvation, and the biblical definition of hope is not wishing for something, it's assurance that you have something. So when we say we have the hope of salvation, we're saying we have assurance in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Not that, oh, I hope I make it. But that we know we're going to make it. I know I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And that's what drives me to remain on this earth. And I think Paul he really understood that. Because as much as he wanted to be with Jesus, his greatest desire was to please Jesus. And so he said, I'll stay here. I don't want to stay here. I love you all. I don't want to be here. But for your sakes, I'll remain as long as he wants me to be here. And I think that's the kind of mindset that we need to have in these last days. Because there's so many people, and I'm speaking about Christians right now, who are just living in survival mode and don't even know that they're living in survival mode. And you hear people say it all the time. Well, how you doing? Oh, I'm just making it. Just living in survival mode. And in Creole, we'll say, not bully, which they say it all the time, but it's not a good thing. It really translates, I'm just barely making it. I mean, these are Christians. How's it going, brother? Not bully. I'm just barely making it. But we don't serve a God that wants us to just barely make it. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the God we love. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to serve a God that is thinking like that. Well, I'm going to give you just enough so that you can just barely make it. But we've been deceived by the devil. How do we survive these perilous times? And we are in perilous times, folks. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not going to get any better. In spite of what some people want to believe, the Bible does not say it's going to get better, but it's going to get worse. These are perilous times. How many Christians right now are just living in survival mode? And here's the question I want to ask you today. Are Christians supposed to be living in survival mode? I mean, is Jesus okay with that? But yet, the truth is many of us are. We're just surviving. For those who are trying to cope with the daily stress of living every day, the world can become overwhelming. And this is why we're seeing so many Christians that are in despair. They're in anxiety. And that is not what God chose for us. This is not the life that God has chosen for His people upon this earth. Now, if you feel like you're living in survival mode, you just need to ask yourself a few questions. Because I think what happens is we get so caught up into the way that we're living today that we don't ever really think about what we're actually doing in life. I mean, how many of you ever just wake up and, you know what, I just need to reevaluate things. I need to understand where I am right now. How many of you ever, do you ever do that? It's a good practice. Teresa and I do that for the ministry. About every 6 months we get together and say, let's just take an evaluation here and make sure we're still on track and following the will of the God for this ministry. Because it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get led away into something else, especially in the mission field, because there's so many needs. And it's easy for those needs of others to draw you away into meeting. You're so involved in meeting their needs that now you're not even focused on Jesus and why you're doing it. Oh, thank you. Am I getting rusty? Sorry, this weather is not doing me well. Oh. But I will never miss an opportunity to preach the Word of God. I made an agreement with the Lord. I did it once, and I really felt bad. And I said, Lord, I'm never going to do it again. I'll have to be on my deathbed, and if they bring me a microphone, I'm still going to preach. But listen, living in survival mode, it's not healthy. It's not healthy physically or spiritually, especially when someone's living like this for long periods of time. And this is happening. People are living in survival mode. They're not even aware of it. And the physical effects of that can be fatigue, headaches, even ulcers and insomnia. Anybody experience any of those? The spiritual effects are you no longer have that peace of mind. I'm talking about that peace that passes all understanding. You become irritable. And all of a sudden, you're losing your desire for God. So it's not a good thing. Being in survival mode is actually drawing you away from the one whom you say you love with all your life. And once a person enters into this survival mode, it becomes a trap. It's not easy to escape. It becomes a daily routine. It actually becomes bondage. Because when you wake up in the morning, the first thing is not Jesus on your mind. The first thing is, what do I have to do today to get through this day? It's like alcoholics who are being taught by Alcoholics Anonymous that once I get up in the morning, my focus needs to be not to take a drink. Listen, I've been there. I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous. I feel for brothers that are going through that. But let me speak a truth to you today. Once an alcoholic, that always an alcoholic, that is a world standard and a world teaching. That is not a biblical teaching. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I am living proof of that. I am not bound by alcohol or drugs anymore. I can stand with the people and they can be drinking, I can be preaching. I'm not tempted by that. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I believe that. And I am so thankful that God set me free. I'm not just barely making it because I struggled with drinking and drugs. Listen, I go into the streets and guys are rolling joints and doing lines. I'm not tempted by that. I'm there for a purpose now. I was set free from that, and I want them to be set free from that. There is liberty, freedom in Christ, and we need to get a hold of that. And the survival mode takes us into bondage. We're not free anymore. If you don't have peace of mind, if you can't go through the troubles of this life and still have joy and hope in your heart, then you're in bondage. That's not freedom. Paul understood what freedom was. That's why he preached about it so much. That's why he taught about it so much. But this survival mode, it can bring despair. It can cause you to think that there's no hope in this life. There's no better way of life. It steals not just your joy, but your hope. Survival mode will take you into a place where you never wanted to go. Some of you are thinking right now. Daily survival now has become your daily focus. And what happens is it eliminates all your future goals and all your future expectations. Think about that. You had a goal in life, but once you entered into survival mode, you don't even think about it anymore. All you think about, what I have to get done today just to survive. So what questions should we be asking ourselves? And just as important as the questions is, we need to be honest with ourselves. Folks, the worst thing you can do is lie to yourself. Let the Holy Spirit do what he was sent here to do, and that is to cleanse you. And the only way that can happen is if you allow him to bring up those things that are in your heart and in your mind that you have suppressed. You know, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to feel like that. Listen, let it come forth. If he's convicting you of something, let it come forth, because then he'll cleanse you of it. That's where the victory is. Victory is not being able to live with it. Victory is being able to live without it. First question, how did I get here? How did I all of a sudden I come into just living in this survival mode? What brought me to this place in life where I feel like that all I'm doing is surviving? The second is, am I the cause of my current situation? This is the question that needs an honest answer. It's not my fault. No es mi culpa. I hear that all the time in the DR. It's not my fault. Or is it my fault? This current situation, is it because of something I did? Or is it a combination of myself and my circumstances? You know, we get in the habit of, well, this is just my life. These are just the circumstances of my life. I just need to learn to live with it. No, you don't. The only circumstances in your life that you have to live with are those that God places into your life, not those that the devil places into your life. And we need to be able to understand which is which. Because many of us really cannot discern when the devil's putting things in our path or when God's putting things in our path. And that's important to know and understand. How do you know? If it's not lining up, if the circumstances of your life are not lining up with the word of truth, it's not coming from God. And that doesn't mean that God might not put hardships into your life. God will make your life hard to bring a soul into his kingdom. He's got no problem with that. And we shouldn't either. I didn't like being in a Haitian prison. I don't believe God put me there, but God allowed it. I mean, he could have just made that a non-existent part of my life, but he didn't. So when you're put into a place that seems difficult or hard, and you know it's from God, then embrace it and continue on with the work. And you'll see God move in mighty ways. And then the next question, the third question is, what must I do to be free of living in survival mode? These are important questions. And we must consider our circumstances in life and then give them an honest evaluation if we want to live in God's abundant blessings upon this earth. And that is what God wants for you. And I'm not preaching the prosperity message. Don't misunderstand me. The Bible does not teach that Christians must live in despair and agony because of the evil that's rampant upon this earth. In fact, it teaches just the opposite. How does one come to the place of continually living in survival mode? Well, I'm going to share this with you, so I can turn my page. One reason is that they've turned their focus from God to the problems that are occurring in their everyday lives. That's the first thing. Your focus has been diverted. And a good example of that is in 1 Kings chapter 11, that speaks about Solomon and his life. Verse 3 it says, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." And Solomon, listen to this, "did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father did. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice." When we begin to turn our focus away from God, he gets angry. And I think his anger comes from his heart. I mean, have you ever felt rejection? It hurts. And what happens next after you can't deal with the hurt? Not saying God can't deal with it, but for us as humans, we get angry. God is an emotional God. I don't know if you realize it or not. Jesus was a very emotional man. But what's the difference? Jesus learned, and the Bible says he did learn, he learned to control his emotions because he completely surrendered his will to the Father. But he had emotions, but his emotions did not control him. Another reason may be that once a person enters survival mode, he or she adapts to that lifestyle. And you can know this by the way they talk and by the way they react to situations. When people are in survival mode, as I said, they tend to get a little bit irritable when things aren't going the way they think they should go. But how do they really know which way things should go? Because they're just trying to survive. They say things like, "No matter how hard I try, it's just not good enough." And it seems like every step forward is three steps backward. Those are signs that you're living in survival mode. And complaining becomes a normal way of communication for those who are in survival mode. And how many know that God doesn't like complaining? As a matter of fact, he punished Moses' sister for complaining about him. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, says, "And Miriam and Aaron spoke against or complained about Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken by us also?' And the Lord heard it." Don't forget that. The Lord hears what you say. "And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, 'Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the congregation.' And they went out. 'With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be behold. Wherefore, then you were not afraid to speak or complain against my servant Moses.' And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." Those living in survival mode have lost hope, and they are now living without joy and peace. Everything in life becomes just good enough and never the best that it can be. And God wants the best that He has for you. God never intended for His people to just barely be making it while living on this earth. Survival mode is not a biblical principle. Listen, it's not a biblical principle. It's not something God established for His people. God's plan for His people is abundant living because of the hope and assurance that we have in Him. He is faithful to the faithful. Listen, He is faithful to the faithful. It's not difficult to be faithful to God. It just takes a commitment. I don't know why that's such a scary word in the world today. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Let me read you another one here. Pardon me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And the word power there does not mean authority as it does in most places of the Bible. The word power there means faith in God's miraculous ability. There is nothing that you're going through or that you will go through that God cannot deliver you from. He's got you in His hand. According to His power. He is a miracle-working God. And He wants to give you beyond what you can even imagine. And we're just living in survival mode. We need to understand what we have in Christ. His plan for us is to overcome all obstacles of life by putting all of our trust in Him. And to overcome, when the Bible speaks of overcomers or we have overcome, it's saying to subdue. We have authority in Christ, and most of us never use it. We never exercise it. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He went into the depths of hell and took authority away from the devil. There is not a demon on this earth, not even the devil himself, who has authority over you when you understand that. There is not an evil force on this planet that can overcome you, because you are the overcomers. That means you are subduing the evil. The evil should not be subduing us. And I'm almost done here. Survival mode is ungodly, and it's not where Christians are to live and have their being. We are of God. We are His children. Therefore, we live as those who have hope or assurance. We are an example to those on the earth who are without hope. Do you understand that awesome responsibility that you have as a Christian? You are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are what they need. We are the Jesus of this earth. You understand that? We are ambassadors of Christ. We were sent to do His work. He gave us that same authority and that same miraculous power. That's what His Word of Truth says. That's what it teaches. We are the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus on the earth. And that's why He said, to those who believe, those things which I do, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do, because I go to my Father. John 14:12, you need to learn it, and then believe it, and then live it. And really, all you have to do is just make yourself available. Forget about yourself, think more on the things of others, and when you're in Walmart, that mission ground, when you're in Walmart and God leads you to, hey, just go up there and tell that person I love them. Just do it. Look. Here's something you can do, because everybody will accept this. Just walk up to somebody when God prompts you, and you know God's prompting you to go up to someone, and you don't know exactly what He wants you to do. This is what He does for me, and maybe it was to help break the ice. I don't know. But I'll get an urge to bless this person. And God says, just go bless that person. My first thought is just to pray for him. But then He says, no, I want you to go and just give him a $20 bill. There. And I give it to him and say, God just wanted you to have this. And then I walk away. That will touch people's lives. It's not the $20 bill. You know what they heard? God wants you to have this because He loves you. And it's truth. I've never seen anybody throw that money on the ground. Not ever, not one time. Now, in this country, I see tracks thrown on the ground all the time. But the money works here. But God will bless you abundantly for that. That which you have, remember, doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. When they see Jesus living in us, then they realize God's salvation can bring them peace in a time of turmoil and joy in times of trouble. And that's what it's all about. They need to see. Because see, you're going through the same thing they are. They know that, but yet they see joy, they see peace, they see hope in you. And that's what the world needs to see. They need to see hope. They need to see hope. Because there are a lot of hopeless people out here today. This pandemic thing has really messed up a lot of people. And they're really, I mean, when you look at the news, people are acting out of desperation. And when you have a multitude of people acting in desperation, then you have chaos. And it's because they don't have hope. They're all just survival mode. But we are not Christians of survival mode. We are children of the King. We carry that torch of hope with us. We can make a difference in somebody's life. You don't have to preach to thousands. You don't have to see 2,000 people come to Christ. Listen, if you're on this earth and you're walking in obedience to Christ and you lead one person to the Lord, you did what God wants you to do. We got to stop looking at one another and trying to compare ourselves with one another. And just compare ourselves with the one who makes a difference, and that's Jesus. Amen. It's time to refocus, repent of our complacency, and then give ourselves wholly to God. Then and only then will we be able to live in an abundant life filled with God's peace, joy, and hope of salvation. So let's be ready. Jesus is coming soon. Listen, I believe with all my heart, and I'm not an end time prophecy teacher, But I believe with all my heart we are in the beginning of the beginning. Not in the beginning, but in the beginning of the beginning. And things are just going to start spiraling. And we need to be ready. Stop living in survival mode and start living the abundant life that Jesus promised. Amen? Thank you all. I want to pray for everyone here today. Father, I just want to thank you for the word of truth. I want to thank you, Lord, that not only is it truth, but it's life. And Lord, I ask you to help us today to be those people that shine bright in a world of darkness. Help us to be those people, Lord, that you can use for your glory and for the good of all. And so, Lord, I lift up every person in this place right now. I pray, Lord, that the words that you have spoken today would penetrate the very depths of our souls. I ask, Lord, that this word would not only fill us, but that it would also transform us. Transform our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, so that we might think differently, that we might act differently, that we might be Jesus on this earth. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to serve you here. In Jesus' name, amen.